Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro praising President Trump's announcement of a merger between U.S. Steel and the Japanese-owned Nippon Steel. Mr. Trump saying U.S. Steel's HQ will remain in Pittsburgh. Wall Street's major indexes closed lower after President Trump threatened a 50% tariff on all imports from the European Union and a 25% tariff on smartphones made overseas. A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from ordering Harvard University not to admit any foreign students. The university is suing over the order, a Chinese student at Harvard.
Today can really fundamentally reset people's belief, in how far the administration could go.
Billy Joel canceling all scheduled concerts, saying he's dealing with a brain disorder which has affected his hearing, vision, and balance. Physical therapy expected to lead to a full recovery. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Black Hawk Bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa near Lansing will stay closed through Memorial Day weekend. The Iowa DOT said that movement was detected with one of the bridge's piers earlier this week, prompting the closure. There's no estimated time for when the bridge will reopen, according to DOT officials. Last year, the bridge was closed for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. A new bridge is under construction and expected to open in 2027. The closest river crossings are in La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. Memorial Day weekend is upon us, which means that state and county parks will be busier than usual. With more information, here's Civic Media's Brittany Merlot.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding us to plan ahead if you intend to visit a state park this Memorial Day weekend. Here's the thing. You may encounter some long lines to get in, limited parking availability, and larger crowds than usual. The DNR asks us to be patient and courteous with staff and with other people enjoying the parks.
You can find more information about state parks on the Wisconsin DNR website. We're a week away from June, which means it's almost time for June Dairy Month. In Monroe County, the June Dairy Breakfast will be held at Chapman Farms near Toma from 7 until 11 a.m. on June 7th. The farm, which began operating in 1888, has over 1,100 cows. In La Crosse County, the Dairy Breakfast will be held at Interstate Fairgrounds in West Salem on June 14th from 6 until 11 a.m. The La Crosse Dairy Breakfast was temporarily canceled due to a lack of volunteers, but organizers said in April the event will now happen next month. The unofficial start to summer will be comfortable, sunny, and dry. Highs each day through Memorial Day will top out in the upper 60s or low 70s. Mostly sunny skies will dominate the weekend. In addition to sunshine, there won't be much wind to speak of, so fire danger will stay low. Our next chance of rain returns Monday into Tuesday when we could see some light showers. Temperatures will warm up well into the 70s next week with more rain chances as well. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A big night for yelling. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers managed to get a win despite a long rain delay. They beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 8-5. Christian Yelich, who was just 2-for-34 in his last at-bats, hit two home runs with four runs batted in to break out of his slump.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. Pretty tough start to the year and been grinding, and but it's part of the game, you know. And, you know, these guys have been trying to pick me up all year with finding ways to score runs, and nice to see some stuff pay off.
NFL, after a week of team workouts, it's the Packers' annual softball game tonight, started by Brett Favre, then hosted by Donald Driver, and now Jordan Love.
We're excited. My second year, kind of helping run the show. I know last year Donald was a big part of it, and he kind of passed the torch, which was pretty cool. So it's going to be 25th anniversary is pretty special. Obviously, the game's been going on for a long time, so to be able to, you know, take the torch and kind of just carry it and keep it going.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-40s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the upper 60s. Partly to mostly sunny for Sunday, Memorial Day, high around 70. Clouds return as we look into Tuesday, a chance of showers as well. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, it is Friday, folks. Friday of a holiday weekend. And the sad news is, I'm not even here. Conrad is not here. And our pal Emerson Lehman is not here. Even though he is here at the moment I'm talking, this is all a pre-recorded show, but completely new material, all great stuff, and the perfect way to head you into your weekend, your long weekend. It's a little longer for me because I'm taking tonight off due to a family situation, but it's great to be here either way. And my pleasure to welcome sort of my co-host for the first couple segments, our pal Emerson Lehman from the WBAY Morning News.
I've been upgraded to co-host. I'll take it.
Don't get too big for your britches.
All right, my bad.
There's no money. There's no money in the budget.
Okay, understood.
You're doing okay with TV, with your TV gig.
This is a nice little side hustle. A hobby. I can't call it a hustle.
Dude, you're awesome. It's great to have you here, as always.
Always a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Because we had you scheduled for tonight, but then I had to take off. So you were being a sport. Coming in here, and it'll be fun.
I'm ready to rock, dude. Right. We're going to have a good time.
Conrad, are you ready to party?
I'm ready to party.
It's just three white dudes ready to party. I don't know what to make of that, but let's have some fun, boys.
Just a Friday night in Green Bay. Here we go.
Downtown. We got gelato next door. All kinds of fun stuff. So I'm pretty hyper. Can you tell that?
Yeah. Did you get gelato yet?
I did not get gelato, but I will say this. I sent you questions to print up, and there's one of the questions, and I left it in there. You know my issues driving down here. I always get stuck behind Ma and Pa Kettle going 35 in a 70. And I was adding a couple questions to my questions for a guest, and I said, oh, geez, what the F? Because this person I was coming up on, and I was using voice, so I recorded that. So I kept it on the question sheet. I think I'm going to ask the guest that.
Just see what their response is.
Exactly. Fun show tonight, folks. As I mentioned, sitting right next to me is Emerson Lehman from the WBAY Morning Show. He's one of the anchors, does great work over there, and the host of Small Towns on the same network. We'll talk to Emerson a little more in depth in just a couple minutes. He's got a lot of cool stuff to report on, and we always like to hear what he's up to, so we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Michael Collins, the director, will be here at 6:35. Michael made a film called Almost Sunrise, and I interviewed him on PBS years ago about this film. It came out in 2017, I believe, shot in 2016. And it's a film about two veterans who are dealing with detachment issues and depression, and they decide to hike 2,700 miles from Milwaukee, their hometown, to Santa Monica, California, just to kind of as a therapeutic thing and to increase awareness about veteran suicide. It's a beautiful movie. The two guys are great, Michael and Tom and Anthony. I interviewed Anthony on the radio years ago, too, and Michael just made a great film. So I chose that film as the new Wisco Weekend Classic Movie Pick of the Week as we head into Memorial Day. I thought it was appropriate, and I didn't want to go with, you know, it's like when you talk about movies about veterans, you got Born on the 4th of July, Platoon, Saving Private Ryan, Thin Red Line. They're all great, but I thought, think outside the box a little bit. So we'll talk to Michael at 6:35. The latest member of our team at Civic Media, especially here at WGBW, Eliza Cusson, will join us. She's from Australia, Conrad. Did you know that?
From down under.
Yeah, but don't say that to her. She does not like those cliches.
Oh,
I
really?
Said, I promise I won't say throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
Good
or
night to
like
you. Yeah, all right.
Well, you're lucky she's not here.
Good
buddy.
To know. My bad. Sorry. You said Eliza?
Eliza, yeah.
Sorry, Eliza. My bad.
She's awesome. And then it is still, even though we're not here, we'll have a lot of fun not being here with Terry Barr also not being here, but we'll all be here for Barbie on Friday night. Pre-recorded. She'll bring great music and conversation as always. Boy, that's your show. That's a lot. How is it we have a more jam-packed show and we're not even here?
We got it. Got to keep it fresh.
Mathematically, that doesn't seem possible.
Everyone wants to be a part of the party.
That's right. All right. Emerson, man, you are like the busiest guy in the world. I just saw you a month ago. You were in this pickleball tournament. I think you took second or third?
Third.
Okay.
I'm not salty about it. It's fine.
Well, you played a pro, though.
I did.
And you did well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good time.
So you did that. You're hosting, you know, you got your everyday gig at WBAY in the morning. You're hosting Small Towns on WBAY, and you have a couple other things. Let's start with your award. This is a really cool thing, man, and congrats.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, the WBA, Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, I found out I was a finalist for the best online personality. So not in-person personality, but online personality. It's okay. And, I was fortunate enough to win for the medium-sized market in the state, which was quite a cool surprise. It was funny. I was actually at a wedding weekend down in Milwaukee, so I usually like to attend the WBA ceremony if I'm able to. A lot of friends from around the state. It's a great time to catch up. Friends in radio, friends in TV, everybody.
Sure.
And I wasn't there, and I just got a text from one of my friends in Madison with an exclamation point and a video. And all of a sudden I looked down at the time. I'm like, oh, I must have won. And then I started getting texts from a few other people.
That's how you found out?
That's how I found out. Because, so it's funny. I was at a wedding. When I won my Emmy a couple years ago, I was also at a wedding. And that one I was able to follow along with and watch online because there was a live stream of it. The WBAs don't have that for they do it for like the Station of the Year award, but not for all of the other ones. So I just was kind of at the mercy of my friends at the ceremony letting me know, and they've certainly let me know right away. And I think now I'm going to let the remaining single friends of mine or the ones that are planning weddings know, hey, we're going to need to do this around award season.
You're fishing for wedding
invitations. I'm trying to chase some. I'm chasing hardware while I'm celebrating love. So yeah, it was a, no, super, super honored, really grateful. It's not really something that it's an award that I always kind of thought was cool because it shows the way you interact with the people who follow you online and follow you closely. And I've always tried to grow my following. And I think in the beginning when I first started, I'm coming up on 6 years working in TV professionally. And it's kind of like, oh, act like a news anchor should act or what I thought a news anchor should act. And I don't know how that is, right? And I finally just kind of, I think within the last year and a half or 2 years, really in my time here, I'm just going to be me and I'm going to let people in. And I think people enjoy that and appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you know, sharing my stories, sharing updates of what's going on from our station, things like that. But also, oh, here's a fun selfie or here's something I did this weekend with the family or here's a pickleball. But, you know, just showing that I'm a person, right? You're not just that talking head on the screen, but I'm a person. I live here in Green Bay, and I just kind of open up about myself a little bit. And honestly, I've enjoyed that so much. And it's crazy because I think my following has started growing a little bit too because of that. And I appreciate everyone who comments, likes, interacts with me on Facebook in particular. That's kind of the big one that I like to keep updating. And I mean, I always try, I think I had over when I announced the award on Facebook, I think I had like 250 people
oh,
just
man.
Saying, some type of congratulations. And I think I responded to every one of them because it just, it means the world to me.
I don't remember seeing that. Was I one of them?
I think you commented, we're personal Facebook friends. So I appreciated that.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
You commented on mine, but yeah, it for my, my professional page, like I just,
yeah,
it's not a success without them. Right. And right. I wouldn't have had a chance at that award without them. So I'm celebrating with them. And
just be you. It's okay for a news anchor to jump up and down and yell Yahoo every once
in
a while.
It is. Exactly. And right? I always love, and people have been joking, oh, maybe you'll get the in-person personality, like the real personality award. There isn't one, unfortunately. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I love it when people will ask me, you know, Steve Balon or Tammy Elliott, are they that way in person?
Yeah.
I'll be like, they're even better. Like they're better than what you see on TV. They're just the best people. And I hope people say that about me when they're asked.
Right.
And I want people to get the real me. I want them to see the real me. And I've tried to do that online. I try and do that on television as well. And,
you're one of those guys, you come across as very genuine. We know about your hobbies, pickleball. Those are human, fun things that you do. It just makes you more of a, and you know, you talk about that. Our mutual pal, we've gotten to know Mike Strelo a little bit.
Absolutely.
He loves to send me Facebook messages if we crack them up. That's kind of fun reading those. And you know, he had great things to say about you. So it was fun.
He messaged me the day that he was coming on the show. And said, just listened to your most previous episode, really enjoyed it. I'm going to be on there tonight. He was so excited. And I got like goosebumps. Oh, Mike, listen, like I had to go back and listen. Like, did I say anything stupid? Oh man, I don't want to disappoint Mike, but no, he's an incredible guy. I loved that episode. And
it was fun.
That's another person, you know?
Yeah.
He's so real.
Yeah.
And he is, you know, is Mike the person that you see on TV? Mike is better than what you see on TV. He's just an incredible human being. You've got to experience that. And I just hope to kind of keep that going as well.
Well, that's fantastic. And congrats again.
Thank you so much.
Before I want to make sure we get this because I know that you're a huge racing fan.
I am.
And we've talked so much about pickleball, which is another passion of yours. And I think it's really cool too. But I don't know much about racing. So tell us, you were at the Indy 500 recently. You're rocking the hat.
The qualifying. Yep. The race is on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So
you went down for qualifying. Yeah. All right. So what was that like?
Qualifying it's cool. So the big race is this Sunday. This will be my 25th one. I'm 28 years old.
Wow.
So you can do that math there. My dad,
you don't need a chaperone anymore though.
I don't. My dad, I grew up racing myself. My dad took me to my first 500 when I was 4 years old, my dad, my grandpa, and I just fell in love with that race, man. It is the most magical experience for myself as a 4-year-old kid. I still feel like a 4-year-old kid every year when I wake up early Sunday morning and we walk into the track, and it's just, it's magical. And we went down for qualifying, my dad and I. We woke up at 3:30 in the morning, drove down, spent 6 hours down there, drove back to Wisconsin.
Oh, no
kidding. It was fun. But I mean, it's 34 drivers putting their lives on the line, going 240 miles an hour to try and be one of the 33 fastest. So one driver gets sent home, doesn't get to race in the greatest spectacle in racing. The other 33.
Only one?
Yeah. Usually
that hurts.
It used to be, you know, they'd have 40, 50 cars trying to qualify for 33 spots. Now it's usually 34 to 36. So this year there was just one that got sent home. Ooh. But it's so hard to explain to people, but I just say, if you've never been to a motor race and you have no interest, or you're maybe thinking about it, that is the one race you need to go to. I mean, it's like a $40 general admission ticket, but you don't have to be a racing fan. It's just such a spectacle. They have a huge EDM concert going on in the infield while the race is going on. It's everything and more that you could expect. I mean, they sold it out this year. It's going to be 425,000 plus people at this event for one day.
Wow.
Largest sporting event in the world. and the greatest spectacle in racing.
I don't know if I told you this, but when I was a stand-up I was working Indy in the 90s. They had two great clubs there, and they used to put us up right on that main street. I can't remember the name of it, but they used to have a parade on the day of the Indy 500.
Sure.
These guys rev their engines. You know, I'm a comic. I was out till 3 a.m. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Not the hangover cure you're looking for.
Exactly. But we'll talk more about the Indy 500 with our pal Emerson Lehman. He is the anchor of the WBAY Morning Show, and he's an all-around swell guy. We'll have more with Emerson in just a couple minutes. It's Pete Schwamba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a hit. Milwaukee Brewers baseball cards are being shared in several communities across the state. The partnership is with police officers in Green Bay, La Crosse, Kenosha, Milwaukee, and Madison, and meant to be an icebreaker between the cops and kids. Here's Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger.
Eventually want to do it to more than just the major cities. We're trying to get around the state as best we can and to sort of engage with our friends around the state. We're a statewide team. We're not just a Milwaukee team.
So see an officer, ask for your own comic book style baseball cards featuring all your favorite Brewers players. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
About not really being here, even though it sounds like we're here, is no question of the night. We can't really answer texts. And it feels weird when the listeners aren't part of the show. It just doesn't, there's something weird about that.
Yeah, yeah, completely. I'm looking for texts and there's nothing, you know?
Just make something up, Conrad.
Will do.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwamba. You got a Friday night here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. Michael Collins is coming up at 6:35, the director of the film Almost Sunrise, a great story about two veterans. Eliza Cousin is here at 7:05, and it is a bar band Friday night. Bar band continues. You cannot keep Terry Barr down. She'll be here at 7:35. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our pal Emerson Lehman, who is telling us all about the Indy 500 qualifying races in Indianapolis. You went with your dad.
Yes.
Drove down in the middle of the night and came back the same day. I have a question because I know my only knowledge really of the Indy 500 is what I used to hear David Letterman talk about because he's a huge...
He's a team owner.
Yes.
Yeah, he's
right.
Got his driver, one of his drivers, he's got three in the field, Takuma Sato, two-time winner, and he's starting second on Sunday. He's one of the favorites, I would say, to win.
Really?
So, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, it's funny because everything I remember hearing about David Letterman, he would talk about the speeding tickets he got on the way home from recording in Connecticut. So I think he wishes he was part of the Indy 500. But I was just telling you during the break, that was the race when I was growing up. It was the Indy 500. I knew about it, even though I didn't know much about racing. Then NASCAR kind of took over. What is the difference in for if you're a driver in the skill sets, and what are the difference in speeds?
Great question. So IndyCar's faster. They're more aerodynamic. Right. They're open wheel cars. They've got wings, so they've got the downforce and whatnot. NASCAR's heavier. You know, the stock car, they kind of look like more of a car you might see on the street kind of deal, where IndyCars look more like a almost like a fighter jet with wheels on it.
Right.
So, and absolutely, like growing up, for you, you know, the Indy 500, you hear the reference in movies. I mean, it's in the Christmas Story, you know,
yeah.
When he's changing dad's tire. you hear that reference. And I think it still is. And NASCAR has kind of taken over in a sense of the full scope, I guess, of a season. Like NASCAR, TV viewership wise, get more people over the course of a season kind of deal, where IndyCar maybe struggles a bit on their other race weekends, but when it comes to the 500,
it's not even close.
It's the race. Okay. Yeah. And you talk to, I think, most race car drivers in the world that are doing it professionally, what race would you want to win? You're going to get Monaco for Formula One. You're going to get Le Mans, the 24 hours of Le Mans for sports cars. And then you're going to get the Indy 500. And it is one of like that's the triple crown, they call it. But NASCAR, you know, they do this thing called the double. So the Coca-Cola 600 is the NASCAR race. That'll be Sunday night. IndyCar, the 500 is Sunday afternoon. It starts at 12:30, I believe, local time. So 11:30 our time. This year, Kyle Larson, who is a NASCAR driver, is doing the double. So he qualified for the 500. He is going to try and race all 500 miles in Indianapolis, get out of the car, jump on a private plane, fly down to Charlotte, jump in the NASCAR, do another 600.
Does that feel like a Sunday drive after the Indy 500? Jumping in?
It's so different. Yeah. And I believe he would be the third driver to complete the double.
It's already been done.
I think
wow.
Tony Stewart is, the only one to do all 1,100 miles.
Okay.
But Kyle's trying to do, he tried to do it last year as well, but Indy had a rain delay, so he had to stay later in Indy, ended up missing the NASCAR race. It was this whole big deal. But yeah, man, that's the thing. Like that's one storyline coming out of the 500. There are so many insane storylines. It's just,
how much faster are they driving? You said 240 miles an hour IndyCar. What do NASCAR drivers top out at? Typically?
Yeah, so NASCAR races at the speedway. I don't like know their lap time comparisons, but they probably hit 200. But you add the, yeah, like 190 to 200.
Okay.
But yeah, like you add that, like they're having to lift through the corners where IndyCars are usually flat through the corners because of the downforce and whatnot. It's just, they're two completely different types of racing, which makes it so cool what Kyle Larson's doing, because he's fast in the IndyCar and he's a NASCAR champion. So he's the best driver.
Are you
in
cheering
the world
for him? Like, do you hope he does?
I hope he does well. I think it would be very cool to see him do well.
Yeah.
You know, I would say I'm a little bit loyal to IndyCar, so I don't know that I want to see a NASCAR driver come and kick IndyCar driver's butts. But in that sense, too, I love history, and I was there for the most recent four-time winner. There's only four-time winners in 500 history. I watched Elio Castroneves do it a couple years ago, and I was there for his first win, which was my first 500. So I've seen all four of his wins.
That's
pretty
cool.
It's just, I enjoyed that history aspect. And yeah, man, we're from Wisconsin. The winner drinks milk. Like what other, usually you're spraying champagne and stuff, but they're drinking a big cold jar of milk in Victory Lane. Like I can't put into words. I'm struggling.
I can tell how excited you are.
How special of a race it is. Yeah. Growing up, that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to win the Indianapolis 500. And, you know, maybe
it's not too late. You've mastered pickleball.
Yeah,
I think you could have another side.
I know. You know, if there's a multi millionaire out there that wants to sponsor my 500 effort, contact me. But it's just cool to be a part of it, and can't wait to be there back home again in Indiana.
Thank you again for being flexible with today and accommodating my crazy schedule.
Anything for you guys.
Yeah, you're the best, man. What, real quick, we got about 30 seconds. What's coming up on Small Towns?
Small Towns, June coming up, June Dairy Month. So we're going to have the first 2 weeks in June, we'll be talking to two different dairy farming families. They make the world go round, right? Yeah. Those farmers out there, and really excited to feature them and put them in the spotlight. They deserve it.
Outstanding. Emerson Lehman. Thank you, buddy. Keep up the great work in your work and in all your side hustles.
Right back to you, my friend.
We'll do this again soon, as usual, I
hope. Look forward to it.
All right. We're coming right back with director Michael Collins. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on a bar band Friday night.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Ticks. These little parasites live for about 2 years.
Ticks don't die in the winter. They hibernate like a bear. So as soon as it gets above freezing, they potentially can come out.
That's Dr. James Thatcher, a physician at the Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center. Summer is known as tick season because temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees are ideal for breeding and make the ticks more active.
Yeah, I know Bambi is really cute in my backyard, but 1,000 ticks per deer. So you really want to keep your distance from Bambi. That's the first thing. So the other thing, obviously, you want to do in your yard is they have this liquid fence that you can, and it's a lot of these natural things, too. And you pour that on the edges of the yard. It's supposed to ward off the deer.
Common ticks here in Wisconsin are the wood and deer ticks.
The difference is the wood tick is more of a brown color with a light brown design on its back. The deer tick has kind of that burnt orange belly.
That's Ashley Johnson, a nurse practitioner also at Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
And then the other one, that Asian longhorn tick now does live in the North Woods. So that is a bigger dog tick, but also has brown legs.
Then there is the nymph, the most infectious and tiniest one of them all.
So as the spring goes on and the ticks that have been mating on the deer start to produce babies, and those babies get a little bigger and they start seeking out their own blood source. Those are the ones that are most likely to infect you.
And they're hard to see, so it's best to wear bright clothes to spot them.
Because it really doesn't want you to know it's there. First, it numbs the skin like a surgeon. Secondly, it gives you an antihistamine, so you don't itch right away. And the third thing it does is it gives you an anticoagulant, so you don't bleed down your leg.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office kicks into high gear this weekend with two huge releases squaring off for your hard-earned money. Let's start with The Granddaddy, which is the final installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, at least for now. Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning continues the story from 2 years ago, where we left with a train hanging off a cliff. The film is pulling about an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes because some critics apparently don't know how to party. Not to be outdone, the live-action version of Lilo and Stitch also opens this weekend and is also anticipating massive returns at the gate. In the film, which is pulling a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, a fugitive alien helps a young Hawaiian girl heal her dysfunctional family. If you're looking for some good old-fashioned, cringeworthy adult comedy, check out the film Friendship, which goes into wider release this weekend. If you're in a small town, you might have to road trip for the laughs, but it might be worth it as it's pulling a 90% on RT. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-40s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the upper 60s. Partly to mostly sunny for Sunday, Memorial Day, high around 70. Clouds return as we look into Tuesday, a chance of showers as well. Currently at 64 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Eber's budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll rebroadcast some recent clips as we take time off to honor Memorial Day and those whose sacrifices gave us the freedom we continue to defend.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Man, you have... played that one in a while. Pull that out of the archives.
I did.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba. Welcome to this pre-recorded show we're doing as I am off tonight, but I'm still sort of here with you. So it's great to have you here with me. It is a bar band Friday night. We are moving forward with bar band. Terry Barr will be here at 7:35 and a special guest at 7:05, which will be fun. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome a guest. Several years ago, I became aware of this film called Almost Sunrise, and I interviewed the filmmaker on PBS, PBS Wisconsin, and again on the radio. And it's a great film, and I thought, you know, I do the classic movie pick every week here at Civic Media, and I thought, in honor of Veterans Day, what's a movie that deals with veterans that we haven't heard yet? You know, you got Born on the 4th of July, Platoon, all those great classic movies. But I thought, man, this is a movie that stuck with me, this documentary from 2016. And I really enjoyed talking to one of the subjects in the documentary years ago, Anthony Anderson, and the director, Michael Collins, as well. And Michael is generous enough to spend some time here with us tonight. Michael Collins, the director of Almost Sunrise, joins me over the stream. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. Great to connect with you again. It's been a while.
It is. And it's funny because you obviously are like me. When I reached out to you, you said my number came up as Pete Radio Wisconsin or something like that on your screen.
That's right.
And I thought that's brilliant to make notes like that because you were in my phone as Michael Collins, but if I hadn't just stumbled onto this movie again, I would have been like, the Irish Revolutionary, or who's right. Michael Collins? Then I would have had to jog my memory. I would have figured it out eventually. But
exactly.
Great to have you tonight, Michael. And, you know, it's been a while since we've spoken, probably 8 or 9 years. Your film is the classic movie pick of the week here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for making it. It's great on behalf of people who support veterans, and I'm sure veterans as well. It was a great film to watch. Just good movie making. But tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about Almost Sunrise.
Okay, great. Well, you know, it has been a while since I've spoken about this, so I won't be as eloquent as I was 8 years ago. I apologize in advance. Okay. But Almost Sunrise is about two veterans who were struggling a bit with their own mental health challenges after returning from Iraq, and decided to take it upon themselves to go for a long walk to clear their heads, literally across the country. And they did it partly for their own sake, just because they wanted that peace and quiet and reconnection to nature and all the benefits of moving slowly across the country, but also to call attention to, you know, they used it as an opportunity to call attention to what other veterans were struggling with and that continue to struggle with. What made this film, I would say, a little more unique than other veteran films that we've seen so far is that it's about moral injury. And moral injury is sort of categorized as like wounds to the soul, you know, so it goes beyond what we hear so much about post-traumatic stress, which is obviously a very real thing, but that has a lot more to do with trauma to your, let's say, your nervous system, where moral injury, it's deeper. You know, so many of the veterans that we were meeting while working on this film were just talking about the wounds that they brought back that were much more subtle than just being stuck in that fight or flight for so long while they were deployed and things like that. It was really, the wounds to the soul that they carried back with them. And that's what we, that was sort of the heart of this film.
It's interesting because you talk about that in the film and you differentiate it a little bit from PTSD, the moral injury. And there's a moment in the film, which I'm using in my classic movie pick of the week, where there's a character, Tom's wife, I think her name was Katinka.
Tom's partner at the time. Yes.
Okay. And she talks about that, by how you're putting, you know, a gun in these kids' hands and sending them over to do things before they really even know what love is. And that's then right. When they look back on it, that's what they struggle with more. And it's not recognized as an official like syndrome or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that was part of the goal of the film. And it is much more recognized. I mean, this was probably the first film on moral injury at the time. And part of the goal of our impact campaign was just to bring this into the mainstream. And, you know, and it worked in a lot of ways. I'll tell you that this film still screens to this day. Our impact campaign continues. People still find the film, do community screenings. I still get emails from people. And so many veterans, even veterans from the Korean War, Vietnam War, will reach out and just say, thank you. I didn't have a name for it. Like, just even being able to name it is has brought people a lot of healing and opportunity to connect with their family and have conversations. And just so I don't know where it stands right now in terms of the VA's recognizing it officially, but I think it may have been, it may be more accepted than it was certainly 10 years ago.
It's interesting. And it's something we don't think about as, just sort of lay people, I guess, is what we're asking these soldiers to do. It's like, go defend the country, go wear the uniform and all that. But what you're actually asking them to do is horrifying. And no wonder they struggle with it. And you did such a great job bringing that out in the film. Anthony Anderson and Tom Voss are both from Milwaukee, the two guys, and they were friends. How did you find them?
You know, I got it in my head that my next film had to be about the veteran and military family experience, because I had some exposure to that and just thought, okay, civilians, quote unquote, you know, civilians aren't paying enough attention. We're not taking enough responsibility for what we're sending everyone off to do. People were starting to come back. There was all this, the suicide crisis was at its height. And I was doing some research online and I found their a campaign that they did. They were trying to raise some money to help cover their costs for the walk across the country. I had met Anthony briefly. I was doing some volunteer work for an organization that he had been a part of, this called Project Welcome Home Troops. He had done their breathwork program. I was volunteering with them, doing some video work for them, and I met him. And so I recognized him and I was like, oh, I know Anthony. I know this guy. I wanted to make a film. And of course, I didn't want it to just be a Talking Heads film. That's not the kind of stuff that I like to make. I wanted there to be a journey, there to be, you know, subjects that we're following. And these two guys saying, we're about to walk across the country to try to heal and call attention to what's going on. I thought, that's perfect. So I called up Anthony. I said, hey, I don't know if you remember me. About 6 months ago, we met in Milwaukee. And he said, yeah, all right, well, let's see. They basically interviewed me. You know, Tom and Anthony invited me out and they said, let's see if this guy's for real, if we're all on the same page, you know, what my intentions were. And we just hit it off. We just realized their goal with the walk, my goal with the film, were in line. And that, you know, I didn't want to get in the way of their experience while they walked. So we agreed that I would come in and out throughout it. And then, you know, the impact campaign was so woven in with their goals of just calling attention and supporting veterans and military families that it just felt like such a perfect match.
Yeah. I interviewed Anthony on the radio years ago after you referred me, and he was so thoughtful and articulate. How is he doing now, and how is Tom doing now?
You know, I've been very in touch with them at moments and less in touch with them at moments. Sometimes I'm just following them on their socials, and sometimes we're chatting on the phone or spending time together physically. So Anthony's, last I checked, he's doing great. He's you know, he moved to Texas for a while, then he's back in, I believe he's back in the Milwaukee area. He has his own company right now called Lit Beard Company that it's obviously veteran owned, and it has, it's, you know, products for men with beards, and he donates a big portion of that every year of his profits to veterans organizations, including Project Welcome Home Troops. And he has a second child now. I mean, he's just, they're doing great. He's doing great. Tom, I've been in touch with on and off. I spent some time with him. He was living in Southern California for a little bit. And last I heard, he's now in Colorado. So I haven't been in touch with him too much lately, but all my interactions with both of them have been just great.
My guest is Michael Collins. He is the director of Almost Sunrise, which you can watch on YouTube. Just click that in. It's Journeyman Films, I believe, Michael, and
yes.
YouTube, and Almost Sunrise, and you can watch the whole film right there. It's just really great work. And you can hear the entire classic movie pick of the week on New Wisco Weekend tomorrow and Sunday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. What was the biggest challenge of this, Michael? You've got these guys walking. You can't film a 2,700-mile walk. As a filmmaker, you have to keep this interesting. And it's two dudes walking, seeking healing and therapy and all this great stuff. Was it hard to pick the moments you wanted to show?
Yes. It was such a tricky production, right? Because you want to choose things like, okay, I think they're going to be, you know, around Colorado Springs on this date. And if we want to represent the different, you know, landscapes in the country, that's probably a good place for us to plan to show up for a couple of weeks. But then they might have been held up. There might have been a storm, this, that. So it's a moving target. Even though they were moving slowly, they were still a moving target. And then their interactions. I mean, really, the heart of this film, it's human, right? I mean, they were... as a lot of veterans struggle with when they come back, they self-isolate and they do some things that are very disconnecting from society, sometimes even from their family. So some of the magic of this film is really watching communities come out to welcome them, to support them, to invite them into their homes for a meal, for a place to sleep, to do laundry. And they had some really beautiful, deep connections with people. Sometimes communities would come out and throw big, you know, barbecues for them, all kinds of stuff. So you never knew when that was going to happen. Someone will pull over on the side of the road who read an article about them from the town, you know, the town before, said, hey, I heard you guys were walking through. And then they pull over and they have the most extraordinary, heartfelt interaction. And of course, that's the moment where my crew and I have gone off to have lunch. It's just in that exact moment. So, you know, that stuff is just, it happened over and over and over again. And it became comical, but that was just part of it. You know, I would say the biggest challenge, yeah, was certainly the edit. It was, I think the hardest thing that happened to these guys happened years before I met them. It's what happened to them in Iraq. So making a film about them moving across the country, it was then, how did we find creative ways to look back at their service? And that's when we incorporated one of Tom's friends who served with him, who he was actually walking across the country to see, Emmett, who features in the film, gave us about 13,000 photographs. And we went through all of those. So that's how we created. We used that to represent their time as they discussed their moral injury, the night raids that they had to do in homes, all the things that haunted them. We were able to really bring that to life on the screen through these photographs, through animation, through bringing them to life, sort of representing the mental loops that they were stuck in, you know, and also really physically seeing them in those spaces. So it was a lot of it was a heavy lift in the edit, but ultimately it all came together.
That's the voice of Michael Collins. We'll have a couple more minutes with Michael when we come back after this very short break. We are talking about the film Almost Sunrise. It's this week's classic movie pick of the week on New Wisco Weekend here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Make that highway run. You don't have to call.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The independent state legislature theory met a skeptical U.S. Supreme Court in 2023 in Moore v. Harper, a North Carolina gerrymandering case. The Michigan GOP tried to employ the fringe theory to undo Michigan's Question 2 citizen ballot initiative, but the U.S. Supreme Court refused the case May 19th. Proponents argue the independent state legislature theory gives legislatures ultimate power over federal election rules based on a widely dismissed interpretation of the election clause of the U.S. Constitution. In North Carolina's case, the legislature admitted it gerrymandered but said it had the final say and the courts and governor had no jurisdiction. In 2022, Michigan's Promote the Vote Question 2 ballot initiative passed 60% to 40%. It enshrined multiple voting rights in the state constitution, including 9 days of early voting, guaranteeing the right to vote without harassment, offering a permanent vote-by-mail list, and mandating drop boxes and several other important voting reforms. 11 GOP legislators tried to invalidate the ballot question using the ISL theory. They argued that only the state legislature could make election law, not those pesky constituents. The Michigan Supreme Court dismissed the case in April 2024, and on May 19th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. We have more on ISL and the Michigan case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a fellow veteran, we understand what it means to serve on a team. A suicide on a team is devastating and a real risk for veterans. If you or someone you know is struggling, reach out now. Reach out WIS.org for local resources available to you and your loved ones.
Paid for by Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin Endowment with support by the Medical College of Wisconsin, the War Memorial Center, and Reach Out WIS.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser. We have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Friday night as we head into Memorial Day weekend. And what better time to talk about a film that really does veterans a solid, to say the very least, called Almost Sunrise. The director, Michael Collins, is with me right now for a couple more minutes. Michael, you've had some distance from the film now. How do you feel about it now, all these years later? And did it have the effect that you or Tom or Anthony wanted it to have? Or the impact?
You know, it's a great question. I'll tell you that the impact that it had after every single screening was so moving, and it's almost immeasurable, right? When someone comes up and says, okay, I'm now going to move on a journey of healing. I'm now going to reconnect with my family. I'm now going to seek out this healing modality that I didn't even know was there before, using breath work, meditation, these kinds of things, and connecting with Project Welcome Home troops. We can't really measure the impact of that. There's still a veteran suicide crisis in this country, right? Yeah. Did I think that this one film was going to solve that? Absolutely not. But I think that it has, every time it's shown, it serves as a tool for the people who see it to, you know, whether or not you're a veteran, a military family member, or a civilian who's outside of that, I think it makes us all reflect and say, how do I participate in making things better? How do I take responsibility? How do I become a part of the change that needs to take place here? And I'm really proud that the film has done that and continues to do that.
You know, my takeaway from the film was listening to these two guys who were in the thick of it and hearing the stories they tell and seeing what they were willing to do, not only for themselves, but to increase awareness for veteran suicides. You can't respect veterans or say you support them unless you listen to them. And, you know, by and large, you know, you hear so many veterans talk about this needs to be addressed. Why are we still even talking about this? Like, what is your opinion of that? You made you took time out of your life to address this issue, and you wanted to make a good film, too. But to increase awareness, why do they have to keep asking?
You know, it's very frustrating. And I think we all do what we can do. And when I searched my heart, I was so frustrated with what was going on. And I said, okay, well, I'm a filmmaker. What can I make impact films? This is how I can be of service, right?
Right.
And I think that is what I would hope that everyone can do and just say, all right, what can I do, as you said, to listen to a veteran in my community, to connect with a military family, to actually be more involved politically? What is, you know, think about what our congressmen and our senators are sending people away to do, have more clarity around that. What is the mission that we're sending people on? How are you going to take care of them when they come back? Do we have clarity around this instead of people just really want to, you know, a lot of times just stay in the shadows and just don't really understand what's going on and therefore are just hoping for the best. And when a veteran comes back and it's uncomfortable, you know, to understand what they've been through, well, we shouldn't just be saying thank you for your service and holding them at arm's length. We should be sitting there and saying, hey, I'm here. I may not understand what you went through, but I'd certainly like to try.
Absolutely.
I would like to, you know, and say that to the family members too, and have some perspective and some empathy and understand that the challenges that this family might be going through are going to be different than yours. And how can you serve them? How can we serve those who are signing up and raising their hands to do the most difficult job that you can?
Yeah, for sure. Did you have to convince them? Like, you guys met, they agreed to do the film. But like a lot of subjects for documentarians, you know, there's a little bit of a period there where they're not sure when they go on camera. These guys are both such personable guys and both very intelligent guys. Did it take them a while to warm up?
You know, I think, as I said in the beginning, they put me to the test.
Yeah.
they were the ones interviewing me. And once I sort of passed that test, then sure, it takes a minute to get used to having a camera in your face and having someone say, hey, you know what? Even during the difficult moments or the uncomfortable moments, we'd like to keep rolling, all of that kind of stuff. So some of that is, it's just something that we figure out together. And I think what I have to do is just show up with full transparency, fully vulnerable every day too, so that they can see that we're all in this together. You know, that I'm not there just trying to take something from them and go and share it with the world to try to get some awards or whatever. It's like, okay, you know, we're all in this, on this journey. And I happen to have a camera in my hand. You guys are walking and talking to people. Let's just be in constant communication of how we can support each other. And yeah, sometimes I would mess up and, you know, they would call me out on it. But for the most part, we knew that deep down we were all coming from a good place. So there was a lot of leeway there.
Michael, great answer. Thank you for increasing awareness to the moral injury, something that probably needs to be talked a lot more about. And your film did win some awards, so good for you. And thank you for making the film. And thanks for taking some time to spend with us tonight on Nightlight.
Yeah. And Jeff, can I just tell you, Pete, sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm at Mountain Film right now. This is where we premiered the film Memorial Day weekend 9 years ago. I'm here. I fell so in love with this festival when we did it that I'm now on the board. I've been back here with two other films since then. I've been on the jury. I absolutely love it. So I'm back here at Mountain Film. So it's all coming full circle having you call me.
Look at that.
And then One other last thing I'll say is I have a veterans film called By My Side. People look at bymysidedoc.com. It's about veterans and canine therapy. It's a short film.
Oh, nice.
And it's really beautiful. So I just wanted to let people know that that's also out there. So
of course.
I appreciate it. Thanks
for
all the time, Pete.
Keep up the great work and break a leg on all your projects, my friend. Great talking to you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Michael Collins, when we come back after intermission, we have a special guest. This is going to be fun, Conrad. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe, I believe, I believe I'm falling in.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Stocks lower today after President Trump said he wants a straight 50% tariff on the European Union and a 25% tariff on all iPhones made outside the U.S.
This comes after President Trump had paused tariffs on certain tech products that are from China, which was major relief for tech companies like Apple and other companies. But the president now going after Apple, saying that he wants the iPhone completely built, manufactured in the United States. Now, analysts estimate that would add much more costs to the Apple iPhone.
ABC's Selena Wang. On his social media, President Trump announcing a merger between U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel. A judge today blocked the Trump administration from revoking Harvard's ability to enroll international students.
It's 9 o'clock.
Piano man Billy Joel canceling all scheduled concerts after announcing online he's dealing with a brain disorder. He'll undergo physical therapy and expected to make a full recovery. This is ABC News.